You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
You hear his name everywhere. The name of God.
Bringing Christ to the nations. The Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, hallowed be your name. We pray that your powerful and saving name may be kept holy among us. You've said that you will not hold guiltless those who dishonor your name. We pray for the grace to honor you by receiving your forgiveness and living in accordance with your holy will. Honoring your name, Lord God, we pray to you. In the name of your Son and our Savior, even Jesus Christ. Amen. You hear his name everywhere, the name of God. In the typical service of worship, you may hear it from 70 to 80 times. You can also hear it throughout the day in many other places, sometimes uttered more fervently than it is in church, when somebody makes a mistake on the job and a supervisor discovers it, when a hammer misses its mark and hits a fingernail instead, on the school grounds where children are playing, and in the nursing home where aging people are getting around with the aid of walkers. When little Nancy spills her milk, or little Jimmy comes into the kitchen with muddy shoes, God may immediately be called upon to do something about it. Scripts of plays are full of the name of God, often employed just to impress people with how tough those characters are that are being played on the stage. In courts of law, men and women solemnly declare, "I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God." Then they start lying with the first breath. Sometimes I think the name of God is linked by people more with deceit and dishonesty than with respect for God, and even fear of what could happen to them if they misuse the name of God. They so often use the name of God when they are angry, resentful, or bitter. People come to associate the name of God with evil. They even portray God as the author of that evil. All of this must be very pleasing to the author of deceit, the father of lies, for whom disrespect for God is a way of life. So you hear people saying, even little children who are great imitators, "God, it's cold outside. What in God's name does she think she's doing? God, is he dumb? God damn this, God damn that, and God damn you." For many people in the world today, expressions like these are treated as if they were a comma or an exclamation mark. You wouldn't let your name be treated that way, but you don't mind it if God is treated that way. I remember hearing a world-renowned communist leader, who is not supposed to believe in God, saying to people at a crucial time, "God knows that I'm telling the truth." I can just hear someone saying, "Oh, that's only an expression." Exactly. To many people, God's name is only an expression of the irreverent, the thoughtless, the careless, the disrespectful, the complete poverty of language, to the point where a great word loses its whole meaning. Apparently, this is what God was talking about in the command he gave to Moses. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God himself gave Moses his name. When Moses asked, "Who are you?" God answered, "I am who I am. I'm the one who has always been, who always is, and who always will be." That is his name. Pious people in the Old Testament times took the commandment not to take God's name in vain so seriously that they wouldn't pronounce his name at all. They used the consonants but gave them different vowels so that they wouldn't ever fall into the danger of even pronouncing his name, much less even taking it in vain. They meant that name, but they used a different word altogether, a word which means Lord rather than to say the awful name. As you can imagine, refusing to pronounce the name of God did not prevent people from taking his name in vain. People can be very pious and still bring shame upon the name of God. You can stand around silently while others drag the name of God in the gutter. You can watch how people are being injured or even killed without doing a thing to help. Or listen to the worst kind of malicious gossip without coming to the defense of the person whose name is being defamed. In all piety, people can do that and throw their own kind of mud on the name of God. God does not take that kind of stuff lightly. He says, "You will not take my name in vain, and I will not hold anyone guiltless who takes my name in vain." That language is clear and can't be misunderstood. It barrels along and bowls over anyone who tries to offer the defense or the excuse, "What's in a name?" The very first petition in the prayer to God given to his disciples by the Lord himself was, "Hallowed be thy name." As a man, Jesus didn't put on any airs, but was always conscious of being the unique and eternal Son sent by his Father to be the Savior of the world. The name of God, as understood by the followers of Christ since the year one of the apostolic era, includes his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son of the Heavenly Father offered himself for the life of the world. Nobody can deny his crucifixion, and nobody makes fun of it unless he wants to defame deliberately the name of God. Yet people will use the name of Jesus like an old tool they throw back into the toolbox because it is no longer serviceable. In fact, they treat that old tool with more consideration than they do the name of Jesus. Every other sentence they use begins with the name of Jesus. I, for one, refuse to stand there and take that kind of stuff. As a peace-loving man, you don't have to stand for blasphemy. We don't pray, "Hallowed be thy name," only to stand around when the name of God is cursed, used flippantly to pronounce a curse upon others. Whether it is done in secular or religious disregard for the grace and glory of God, this taking of the name of God in vain cannot be tolerated in any civilization that makes a pretense even of calling itself human. The Lord God himself says, "I will not hold anyone guiltless who takes my name in vain." God's name is great and powerful. It is everything God stands for that is mighty, great, and powerful. Said the psalmist, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the world. Your praise reaches up to the heavens. It is sung by children and babies. When I look at the sky which you have made, and the moon and the stars which you set in their places, what is man that you think of him? Mere man that you care for him. Yet you made him inferior only to yourself. You've crowned him with honor and glory. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the world." The God with the majestic name gave a great name to his Son Jesus. He sent his Son to die for the sins of the world, and raised that Son of his by his own great glory from death to life. The Father himself gave that Son a name above all other names that at the name of Jesus, everyone should bow. What is more, God himself puts the stamp of his name on everyone who has confidence in Jesus that he is the Savior of the world and the Lord of heaven and earth. As John said in his gospel, to all who believe in the name of Jesus, God gave power to become the children of God. What is the mission of the children of God in the world? To hold up and hold high the name of God that all may see. Not to hold it up so that people cannot see and cannot hear, but to hold it up for all to see and for all to hear. Everybody can see Jesus. People may not always see him as he is, but there he is on a cross that is visible all through the world. As Jesus himself said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself. That compelling power of the cross of Christ has only gained in force down through the ages and is today touching people by the millions throughout the world. At first, there were only a few, 11 to be exact, who actually went out. Others were there too, and their number was growing all the time. The same thing is happening today. The Spirit of the Lord is at large in the world, bringing to people the good news of life and salvation in the great name of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Savior of the world. Personally, I'm very optimistic about the work of the gospel throughout this world. I have confidence in the power of the Spirit of God, that is his name. You may not be much, but he is something else again. You may not even be a member of the family of God at this moment, but the Spirit of God is knocking on your door with the good news of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is knocking on the door of people throughout the world, bringing them this good news of Jesus Christ which has survived the ages, even now compelling people to come in and be saved. You hear about him today, not because I am so great, but because the name of God is so wonderful, so powerful. Take not the name of God in vain. God says so himself. You take that name in vain when you let it bounce around in your heart and pay no attention to it at all. Martin Luther said that this commandment is kept in a positive way with prayer, praise, and giving of thanks. The name of God is honored and respected when people like us have confidence in him, trust him, and love him, giving him our hands as well as our hearts. That's honoring the name of God. How is it with your prayers? Do you pray to God, even when you don't have anything special to pray to him about? When you know God as you know Jesus Christ, all of life becomes a prayer. You don't have to stop and fold your hands every time. His great name protects you, and his great name invites you to keep in touch with him. You pray for yourself, and you pray for others. You pray that God's name may be holy in you, in your family, and among your friends. You pray that his name may be hallowed among those whom you've never met. When you pray to God for others, you're always going to meet people who will thank you for your prayers. This is not just talk. They have felt the impact in their own lives of your prayers in their behalf. It means a lot. Indeed, the Apostle James said, the prayer of anyone who believes in God and is righteous by faith in God accomplishes an awful lot. Revering the name of God is a constant song of praise. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, indeed, make a joyful noise to the Lord. What's the matter with a little noise, or a good deal of it, to praise the Lord? Raise up his name with the loud clashing cymbals, with glaring and blaring trumpets, with pounding drums. Nothing is too good for the Lord. Give thanks. Give thanks to God. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Pray, praise, and give thanks. What a way to honor the name of God. As the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is not a time for knocking on wood, thanking your lucky stars. That's what a lot of people do without giving the matter another thought. In the meantime, life is passing them by. Don't let life pass you by. See the gracious name of the living God in the forgiveness that he gives to you for the sake of his Son, Jesus, who died for you. Hear the name of Jesus beating on your heart with the power of God's Holy Spirit. Feel the wind of the Spirit in your own life coming to you as he always does in the living word of the living God, the flame-covered word of the living Christ. The worship of God is always a rehearsal. In worship, we rehearse the goodness of God. That's what we are going to do from here on in, gathering force and strength in the great name of God. It's like beginning life all over again every day. It's like being baptized again for the first time. It's like capturing life when everybody else is talking about death. It's like being crucified with Christ and just like living with him, or rather having him live in you. It's like living by faith in him. The life that you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You don't have to retreat somewhere to do this. Try it out there in the busy marketplace, where you are, or where you're going. Pray, praise, and give thanks. Hold up his name high today and tomorrow. Let people see the banner that bears his name, that they may learn to praise him. Not you or somebody else, but the living God, your Father who is in heaven. Hold his name high. And he will uphold you with the word of his power, giving grace and glory, as he always does to those who have confidence in him, who respect his holy name, who love him as sons and daughters love their Father in heaven, and who hold his name high for all to see. Amen.